following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. It's our weekly visit, the last one of February, with Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Algy. Gosh, it's the end of February. Can you believe that?
No, it's crazy how quick the season goes and where we're at.
Yeah. So let's talk about Union wrap-up. It's M&T Port Bank Center portion of its regular season schedule this past weekend, hosting Harvard and Dartmouth. It turned out to be a four-point weekend. The Garner Chargers defeated Harvard 4-1 on Friday and then rallied from a 3-1 deficit with two third-period goals to earn a 3-3 tie against Dartmouth. Union got a point, but couldn't get that extra one in the shootout as Dartmouth won that 2-0. Before we break down the games, your general thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, generally pleased. Overall, I thought we played some good hockey. There were some moments of things, you know, we have to clean up, but overall was happy with the play.
Well, let's start with the Harvard game. The last time these two teams met, the Crimson skated to a 4-0 win on January 19th at Bright Landry Hockey Center in Boston. Union was looking to avenge that loss. What was the pregame message to the team?
I think we're a different team than, you know, the last time we played them there, and we just wanted to, you know, focus on playing the way we've been playing. So it was more about just us, and obviously Harvard has some pretty talented players, so just making sure we make it difficult for them.
Well, the game is scoreless until there was 6:28 left in the first period. Clifton Park native Troy Pelton has the puck as he skates behind the Harvard net. He spots Jacob Jeanette in front.
Into the zone. Jeanette checked into the half wall, throws it behind the net. Ben's racing after it. Here's Ethan Benz. Back to the point. Lassard, a shot. Charette, I don't know if he didn't see it right.
Fought that one off.
Pass out in front. Shot. Score! Jeanette rewarded, and Union goes in front 1-0. The first shot didn't go in, but then Pelton finds Jacob Jeanette in front, and the junior puts home his second goal of the season.
That's Andrew Santillo and Steve Sheraton on the call on ESPN Plus. That goal gives Union a 1-0 lead, and we'll talk more about Jeanette in a little bit. But it's a nice way to that your fourth line opens to scoring.
Yeah, they played with a ton of energy on Friday night. Arguably, was our best line, and anytime they can chip in offensively, it's huge.
Well, the first period ends with Union up 1-0. How did you like the team's effort in the period?
Yeah, it's real positive. Again, I thought we were playing well. You know, as the period went on, we got better and better.
Well, the second period begins, and just 1:41 into the period, Colby MacArthur makes it 2-0.
Langenbrunner. Here's an interception by Lindauer. Lindauer looking out in front. MacArthur shoots, score! Union doubles its lead. It's Colby MacArthur, and it's 2-0 Union. And that was a fantastic forecheck there for Union. Getting the players in deep, and that was forcing a turnover. And that's the top line, MacArthur from Lindauer and Muthersbaugh. And a big goal for Union coming out here early in the second frame.
How big was that goal coming so early?
Yeah, it was real important. And, you know, that for us, that line was you know, playing well. So for Parker and Benda, you know, create a turnover and then Colby stop at the net and have good habits, it was really important.
Well, a big moment takes place with 12:48 left in the second. Harvard's Jack Thompson appeared to have goalie Cameron Corpy beat when he skated from behind the net to the right side as he tried a wraparound. Corpy got his left pad on it to keep it out, and then 48 seconds later, Lucas Boziel scored to make it 3-0.
From Joe Miller went wide, so Harvard ratcheting up the play here midway through this period. Here's a turnover, Lorenza. Centering pass shot, score! It's Boziel! It's 3-0! Another goal for Union there where the primary assister does a lot of the work and someone's just open in front, and Lucas Boziel is the recipient this time around.
Well, that was a two-goal swing, Josh. How big was Corpy's save?
I don't think people realize like how athletic of a play that was, like for him to get to, you know, the front post and then get all the way over on that wraparound in such a such a quick moment. Unbelievable save by him and huge for us.
Well, Union wasn't done scoring yet. Once again, it was Pelton setting up Jeanette, this time with 7:14 left in the second.
A 2-on-2 here, Berwick and Pelton. Now 3-on-2. Shot, save, rebound as Buziol was driving the net. Now Pelton behind the net. Team's back at full strength, 7:20 to go in the second period. Jeanette, shot, score! It's Pelton, it's 4-0 Union.
Well, Jacob Jeanette was so thankful for getting the goal to start the game for Troy Pelton. He says, hey, let's return the favor. Makes a beautiful pass out in front. And Pelton puts it home for his third goal of the season, and it is now 4-0 Union.
It was Jeanette's first two-goal game in his career. It was the 74th career game with Union. This season, Jeanette has been a part-time player, seeing action in 11 games coming into that Harvard game. He had a goal and an assist. I mean, how big of a game was this for Jeanette?
Well, Jacob's been playing really well for us, and I think, it's probably been a frustrating season for him in a lot of ways, maybe not getting the ice time or the opportunity that he wanted. And, instead of, really feeling sorry for himself and complaining, he's just been working hard, and he earned his opportunity, and he's made the most of it here. And in the last couple games, he's been playing really well. He's been playing physical. He's been playing with a ton of accountability and responsibility, and that's why he's been a staple in our lineup here of late.
Well, Corpy makes another great save, stopping Richard Gallant on a breakaway, but Gallant got a measure of revenge late in the period. He was leading a 2-on-1 rush down the left wing. He passed the puck to a Harvard player on his right side. Unfortunately for our Union defenseman, Etienne Lessard, the puck hit his skate, and Karen passed Corpy. Man, how frustrating was that?
Yeah, Etienne played it really well. He got him to the outside, took away the back door, and then just, hit him right in the foot. So. Yeah.
Well, the period ends 4-1, Union leading. However, the Crimson outshot the Garnet Chargers 20-15 in the period. Was that kind of annoying?
Not really. I mean, I thought we did a nice job, starting to, try to frustrate them. Once we got the fourth one, we were just trying to stay above them and make sure we didn't limit chances.
Well, in the third period, Union does an outstanding job protecting the lead, and Union does get its revenge and beats Harvard. Had to be satisfied with the effort. Everyone had to be satisfied, from the coaching staff to the players.
Yeah, I thought up and down the lineup, it was a good performance by us, and we're real pleased.
I have post-game sound. Let's hear from Jacob Jeanette, Troy Pelton, and Cameron Corpy.
Jacob, we'll start with you. First two-goal game of your career. How's it feel?
I mean, that I could contribute about 98% of the effort to Pelts. He was unbelievable down low tonight. Benzie has been fantastic on our line as well. He's always I don't know if he got on the score sheet tonight, but he does so many great things as well. And I mean, I was just feeding off those two energy the whole night, and I'm lucky to play with those two guys.
Take me through the second goal, because it looked like you come around the wraparound. From our vantage point, maybe Troy got it, but Troy looked at you and pointed to you. What did you think?
If I'm a betting man, that's his goal after they look over it tonight. But, that's kind of what I think. I have no idea what it hit. He just pointed at me and he was like, oh, that was you, and that was kind of it.
Troy, your thoughts on that one?
I was just at the front of the net. I didn't feel it, so I'll give it to him. But I mean, they can look at it in video. I don't care.
Cameron, that's three straight for you guys. Does it feel like this group is kind of peaking at just the right time?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're doing a lot of good things right now. Obviously, it's the right time of the year to do it, but I mean, we got to keep building every day and, look forward to tomorrow.
The wraparound save you made there in the second period, then you guys go down that score. I mean, how big was that? It was basically a two-goal swing.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of was just out of position, so I mean, I just threw the leg out there, and luckily, it just hit me in the toe.
What about the breakaway on Gallant? Did you hit the backhand and try to slip it through the five hole?
Yeah, I mean, I think just same thing, because like last week, just he had a lot of back pressure, so I knew he was either going to try to go five hole or just shoot it. So.
Kind of a fluky goal that they got there. I mean, off of Lessard's skate there. I mean, it's one of those things, you just shrug your shoulders and move on?
Yeah, I mean, just can't control that. I mean, unless he did the right thing, I mean, he's playing it the right way, and just unfortunate bounce.
Two straight games now, you played very well. You looked like your old self from the beginning of the season. Are you feeling more comfortable and back to where you were back earlier in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel good right now. But obviously, there's more to come. And more big games to play, so I just got to keep getting better every day.
Troy, what does that mean to see Cameron play so well the last couple of games?
It's been great. I think the whole group is bought in. Great goaltending, great plays all around. Everyone's buying in, blocking shots, bumping guys. It's just been awesome to see.
Jacob, this has been a really tough stretch. Three teams you've already played above you in the standings, all teams that you've beat. How much you guys relish the opportunity to go after these teams that are maybe above you in the standings?
Yeah, I mean, the standings can only say so much. Like, this group is really special, and I mean, we've shown it that we can not only hang with the best teams in the conference, if not the country, but we can pound them too. And I think, like, we haven't peaked at all yet. Like, we're on the way up, and we're playing good hockey, and we keep getting better every day. Like, this group is completely relentless, and we just keep getting after it, and I think we're going to be scary to play against going forward.
Jacob, for you, how tough has it been, in and out of the lineup, not really getting regular time, but you see, like, the last couple of games, you've been getting more chances to play. I mean, how have you dealt with it, and how much has that fueled your desire to, work harder?
I mean, yeah, you just got to show up and do your job every day. Like, it's... like, you don't make any excuses for anything. And, like, the guys who are in the lineup, they, they take it with their best effort. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just grateful for the opportunity in front of me. And when you're called on, you got to play. And, like, that's the approach I think every guy on this team takes. And that's the approach that I'd like to take towards it.
Troy, after a season filled with a lot of splits, weekend splits, you guys are starting to stack some wins now. How good does it feel to be in a rhythm and to have three straight wins against some really good teams?
It feels great. I mean, like I said before, everyone's buying in, and, we're doing the right things, and it's led to a few wins in a row now, so hopefully we can keep it going tomorrow. It's a big one. We got seniors playing for a big game, so I'm excited.
And Cameron, you guys are just a few points out of that coveted four seed now. How exciting is it that you guys have a potential first-round bye and home ice kind of in your sights right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to look too far forward. Like, I think we're all just kind of looking forward to tomorrow and just trying to do our job, and then whatever happens outside of what we can control is whatever happens.
Let's move on to Saturday, the final regular season home game. Dartmouth, which has been a pain in the butt for Union by winning the last eight meetings, is the opponent. It's also senior night. All nine Union seniors are in the lineup. What is the message for this game?
Before the game, just talked about the importance of this senior class and everything they've done for the program, and just make sure we honor them with a really good effort. And, also just wanted to thank those seniors for everything they've done for me personally and our program.
Was it tough to get them all in the lineup? Because obviously some guys have to sit out. Will Felicio was a scratch. I think Drew Sutton was a scratch. I mean, there's guys, obviously have to sacrifice to get these seniors in.
It was a really difficult decision with the lineup. One that makes you question, like, if you should have senior night at a different time. That's something we kind of batted around, because you want to, make sure you're doing everything to honor the seniors, but at the same point, giving your team the best chance to have success.
Well, Dartmouth gets the game's first goal. Hayden Stavroff, the nation's leading goal scorer, beats Corpy on a one-timer at 8:21 to give the Big Green a 1-0 lead, and that's how the period ends. How would you assess that period?
I thought the first 10 minutes they were the better team. I thought as the period went on, we started to play a little bit better, but was a little disappointed with the first 10.
There was an incident with 7:29 left in the first when Nate Hanley was boarded by Dartmouth Eric Charpentier in front of the Union bench. It looked nasty. Charpentier got 2 minutes for boarding, while Union's at Etienne Lassard got 2 minutes for roughing as he retaliated. First, why wasn't a five-minute major issued to Charpentier?
They said that he turned, or that, Nate turned, and, we had the option to challenge it. I thought the hit against Lassard a couple weeks ago was a little worse, so I thought it was going to be a hard time getting the five-minute major, and they wouldn't look at it on their own.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you think of challenging it to get that upgraded?
Yeah, we did, and we just thought that the hit on Lassard was worse, so that was kind of our decision.
Yeah. Well, the second period begins, and the 2:59 into the period, Charpentier is called for hooking, and Alex Lorenza makes him pay.
Lorenza, shot, score! Tie game, Alex Lorenza makes it 1-1. He missed an opportunity just a couple seconds ago, and he made sure not to miss this one. Got the puck on his stick, and he wraps it home for his fourth goal of the season. The power play strikes for the Garnet Chargers, and we're tied up at one.
Nice play all around to get that goal.
Yeah, you know, him, you know, when he caught the puck, nice fake shot, and then just pushed forward and was able to finish.
Well, Union's playing well and appears to be in control, but the big green, being the pain that they are, to the Garnet Chargers, scored twice in less than a four-minute span. Stavrol gets the first one on a one-timer just inside the left circle at 12:54. And when I was typing in the Agate on his first goal and looked for the number of goals he has scored, I was stunned to see how many he had. Now he has 26 on the season. And I said earlier that he is the nation's leading goal scorer. I mean, how good of a player is he?
Yeah, he's an exceptional shooter. I mean, probably the best in the country. When the puck gets on his stick, he's quick to finish. That line is extremely difficult to play against, and they create a lot. It was frustrating as a coaching staff. I mean, I think that's, you know, a guy you want everybody to know when he's on the ice, and obviously we missed him twice.
Well, sometimes he lets people know when he's on the ice when he scores. I mean, he screams and goes to the glass to celebrate, so maybe a little cocky.
I know that my kids took note of that, so they're not too happy. But he's a good player, and he lets everybody know it.
Yeah. With 3:08 left, Alex Kraus makes it 3-1. It was a controversial goal. Corpy appeared to have been interfered with by a Dartmouth player. He lost his stick in the process and was off balance when Kraus beat him. You challenged for goalie interference, but you lost that challenge. What was seen on the video?
They just felt like we didn't give him the opportunity to leave the crease, and that we drove him into the net. So that was how they ruled it. We got to handle that better. And we had a couple opportunities to get the puck deep earlier in the shift, and we got hemmed in our zone, and that's how the puck ended up in the back of the net.
Well, down 3-1 after two. What's the message heading into the third period?
I just, this group does things the hard way sometime, and we're comfortable doing that. So it was, we got to get a spark here and get going, and once we do that, I think we'll be all right.
So. Well, yeah, the third period gets going, and Dartmouth maintains that two-goal lead. It's past the halfway point, and the pressure's on Union to score twice. The red-hot Lucas Buziol responds.
Puck played ahead for Bruick. Here is Buziol. Shot by Lindauer's blocked, held in by the blue line. Rebound, shot, score! The rebound was sent home, and it's a one-goal game. It was Lucas Buziol.
Well, Buziol has been on fire. He's on an eight-game point scoring streak. He has 6 goals and 5 assists for 11 points during his run. Buziol is fifth in the team scoring with 12 goals and 11 assists for 23 points. What has been the key to his streak?
I think he's just, you know, continuing to do what he's done in his time here. He plays the right way. He's extremely responsible. He works hard. He gets to the high traffic areas, and you do that consistently, you're going to get rewarded. And now he's got a little confidence in his finishing ability. But I mean, you look at last year in the playoffs, he was arguably our best player, and we're going to need him to be that way down the stretch.
Well, 1:21 later, there is a faceoff in the Dartmouth left circle. Buziol is tossed from the faceoff and replaced by Parker Lindauer. He wins the faceoff back to Riley Bruick. Bruick then passes the puck to DJ Hart at the top of the slot. The junior defenseman takes a couple of strides to his left and then fires the puck on net.
This is now a thing where Lindauer is now on the second line with Buziol and Bruick at the moment. Hart shoots, score! Tie game! DJ Hart with a seeing eye wrister from the blue line. And if the crowd wasn't into it before, they are most definitely into it now. DJ Hart, his first goal of the season, and what a fantastic time for it for the junior from Stamford, Connecticut. And we said Union needed a couple goals to get to 3, and well, they're at 3.
That ties the game at 3, and the season-high crowd of 23:45 goes into a frenzy. I mean, how big of a goal was that?
Yeah, it was huge, and it was so loud in there. It was a awesome moment.
Well, it was Hart's first goal of the season. I mean, talk about the weather with wherewithal to move to his left and get that screen set up in front of Dartmouth goalie Emmett Croteau, who never saw the puck.
Yeah, he was able to create a shot lane with his movement up top, and then We got traffic there and a nice finish by DJ.
Well, the third period ends 3-3. Each team gets a point as we head to overtime. And Union had some chances there in the overtime, especially I think Ben Muethersbaugh late missed an open net. Neither team scores in OT, so it's a tie. The shootout will decide who gets the extra point. Unfortunately for Union, Dartmouth wins that shootout 2-0. What were the feelings like after the game?
Yeah, disappointment. Just, you know, felt like could have used that extra point. You know, we had, you know, the two-on-one with, you know, 30 seconds left with Brandon Beer and Ben Muethersbaugh. Usually when those guys get a two-on-one, we feel pretty confident. And then in overtime, I felt like I thought we had the better of the play in overtime, but, you know, unfortunately weren't able to finish. But then it was just on to honoring our seniors.
Yeah. Speaking of that, the ceremony took place after the game. I was kind of annoyed. I don't know how you felt, but that most of the fans were leaving after the shootout ended. I mean, they missed a nice ceremony. I mean, how tough is it to watch a ceremony knowing that their college careers are winding down?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, this group means a lot. You know, unbelievably, special group for me, and, it's sad to know that they won't be with us next year.
Well, I have post-game sound. Let's start with Union's Lucas Buzio and DJ Hart.
Well, Lucas, we'll start with you. I mean, good news is you got a point out of this. The bad news, you don't beat Dartmouth again. It's 0-8-1 last night. But what do you take away from this game?
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking about that in the room. Like, our first wasn't the best hockey we could have played, but you know, for the second half and the second period and that third period, I thought we took it to them. I mean, we were down 3-1, and, you know, coach came in the room and be like, you know, the game's not over. We had a really good third period. I think if we play a full 6, I think we definitely can beat them. Obviously, you know, losing to shootout stings, especially on senior night for those seniors. But, you know, we know if we run into them again, I think we have a good chance of beating them.
DJ, your thoughts?
I definitely agree. I feel like our first period was a little bit rough. We didn't quite get into the swing of the game as quick as we wanted to. But I thought our second or our third were really good hockey. We were playing our game. And second, we had a couple unfortunate plays kind of not go our way. But at no point, we never thought we were out of that game. So it was all positive energy. We knew we had a really good chance of winning that game. And it was just unfortunate, the outcome.
So no frustration after that second period where they got those two goals?
No frustration. We knew what we needed to do and just clean up a couple things, and we were fine.
Lucas, tell me about your goal. I think Riley had the point shot, and you were there at the doorstep.
Yeah, I mean, I kicked it out to Riley, got it back to Parker, shot, but got blocked. Fed Cal had a nice shot on net, kind of rebound, just banked around, kind of off my stick and in. You know, we built some momentum and energy off of that, and obviously, you know, scoring a couple shifts later, when DJ scored. So, you know, we had the momentum on our side, and with 6 minutes left, to be honest, I thought we could win a regulation and not go to overtime.
You've been a little rolling, eh? Game point scoring streak. What's been the key for you?
I mean, just confidence. Just, you know, playing the way I know how to play. I mean, I don't really focus on that. I'm just more focused on getting 3 points every night. And, you know, if the points come, it's great. But I'm more focused on the team.
You did take me through your goal. I think you made a smart move there. You took a couple strides to your left after you got the puck and broke.
Yeah, thank you. It definitely felt good to get it. We knew we needed one at that point in the game, and a lot of things happened before that. Just the momentum coming from the second period into the third period, we knew if we just kept putting pucks on net that something good was going to happen. And it was a great screen by everybody in front, and I just threw it on net, and it happened to go in. So,
yeah, were you looking at when you made that move to your left, did you notice there was a player up there screening the goaltender?
Yeah, I mean, I looked up and pretty much couldn't see the net, but I knew if I threw it off their hips that right side had a chance.
What does it say about the team? I mean, let's go back to the Clarkson game. Yeah, you come back several times. The Colgate game, you come back several times. And tonight, I know games passed in some of the games, particularly the Quinnipiac game down there. I know Coach was talking about maybe you guys were feeling sorry for yourself, but the fact that you're showing some guts coming back from some of these games. You didn't win the Clarkson game, you didn't get a point. You won the Colgate game, got 3, and then get a point tonight. What does it say about this team as you head to the postseason?
I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Like, we're never out of a game, and we know that. That's our mentality. We're the best team in the league, in our opinion, and anybody we play is going to have to play their A game to beat us. So we're coming no matter what. Down, up, we just got to play our game, and good things will happen from that.
Lucas, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate what he said, I mean, you know, we've been playing really good hockey the past couple of weeks, and, you know, we want to carry that into next week. Last week of the regular season, then hopefully bring that momentum into the playoffs. And, you know, we believe we got a really strong group in there, and we can do something special.
Let me ask you about Matt DeBray. He had some setback with cancer treatment. Your thoughts on Matt?
Yeah, you know, we're wishing him all the best from all the guys. You know, we're hoping he's doing well, and we're sending our wishes.
DJ?
Same thing here. We're sending our best wishes over there and hoping for a speedy recovery.
Now let's hear from Dartmouth head coach Reed Cashman on his thoughts of the game.
Coach, you just want to open up with an opening statement about tonight's game.
Yeah, hard-fought game. Union heavy, competes, makes you play a full 60 minutes. Liked our first, liked our third. Second got away from us a little bit. And, you know, feel good about the weekend. At the end of the day, we got 5 points. Head back home and get ready for Quinnipiac Princeton.
Over the second period, you said me wasn't great, but you did score those two late goals there to take the lead and seemingly were in control.
Yeah, but we were really emotional. We weren't clean coming out of our zone. So, yeah, I mean, we came out of that with a 3-1 lead, but we weren't playing the way we would have liked to have played. And like I said, I thought I liked our third better than our second, even though the score was reversed.
Yeah, we had to get those two quick ones. William, what do you think at that point?
I just think it's hockey. I think, like I said, I thought we were on our toes. I thought we were pressuring. I thought we had an opportunity to get that fourth goal and make it 4-1. And then there's just individual moments and individual breakdowns. And again, they were into it too, right? So I wasn't thinking anything other than I liked our game and I liked our team, and let's find a way to win this game.
Union, I mean, that's as close as they've come to beating you guys. I mean, what did you like about what you saw of Union?
Well, they're, since Josh has taken over, they compete at an extremely high level. When you give them time and space, they come in waves. They come from different places. There's an aggressiveness to their offensive game. They got some mobile D back there. And so it's really well coached because you know on video what you're going to get. And what you see on video is what you see live. And so, yeah, they're tough to defend. They're obviously scoring a lot of goals right now.
Can you talk a little bit about starting off? I'm mispronouncing his name, sorry, but you know, another two-goal effort this weekend. Just I looked down after he scored his first goal. I didn't realize he had that many goals this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading the country in scoring. I think he's the best goal scorer in the country. But he's also a huge leader for our group. He's physical. He plays inside the dots. He's rounding out his game. We feel really fortunate. He's obviously having a heck of a year.
Let's take a break. When we return, we'll preview this weekend's final ECAC hockey regular season games at Yale and Brown. The Yale game is on Friday. The Brown game is on Saturday. And what the ramifications will be for the Garnet Chargers to earn an ECAC hockey tournament first round bye. And we'll answer listeners' questions. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott. I'm joined by Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Halgee. Well, this weekend is the last one of the regular season. Union visits Yale at Ingalls Rink in New Haven, Connecticut on Friday, and then plays at Brown at Meehan Auditorium in Providence, Rhode Island on Saturday. There's a lot at stake this weekend with regards to seeding in the ECAC hockey tournament. The Garnet Chargers are in sixth place and have clinched home ice for the first round, a single elimination game. But the first round bye is in play. They are 4 points behind Princeton for the final first round bye slot, and Union trails fifth place Harvard by 1 point. While Union plays Yale on Friday, Harvard hosts Princeton. This is a pretty simple. Union must beat Yale in regulation and hope that Harvard beats Princeton in regulation. That means Harvard will be tied with Princeton, while Union will be a point back. Then we move on to Saturday, while Union faces Brown, Princeton visits Dartmouth, while Harvard hosts ECAC hockey leading Quinnipiac. If Union wins in regulation and Princeton and Harvard lose in regulation, Union moves into the fourth place and gets that final first-round bye. I'm not going to get into the scenarios if overtime or shootouts are needed because my brain will explode. I mean, how are you approaching this weekend? Will you be keeping an eye on other games, or will you keep your focus on your games?
Yeah, our focus is strictly on Yale right now. You know, after Friday night's games, we'll sit down and run some numbers. The only thing I do know is if the game was in overtime for us, we have to win in regulation or overtime to have a chance at that bye, just with the scenario. So like, we can't let it get to a shootout on Friday night.
Yeah, because the second tiebreaker is wins in regulation and overtime shootout wins do not count.
Yeah.
So the first tiebreaker is head to head. So obviously Union and Union has split with Harvard and Princeton in that category. Yeah, just like I said, I was just like, there's too many scenarios. I just wanted to say, we'll try to keep it simple in my column that appeared in Tuesday's Daily Gazette, because I probably involve algebra, and I was not good at algebra. Yeah. So
we have a board in our coaches' changing area, and it's a pretty big board, and the amount of hieroglyphics on it there, like you wouldn't even know what's going on. So,
excuse me. Well, you said after Saturday's game that you haven't concerned yourself with that first round bye. Why is that?
I think that when, you know, really when we started talking about it, we weren't playing great hockey. And that was, for us, the biggest thing is just to make sure we got back to, you know, kind of how we were playing at the end of, you know, the first half of the season. And when we came back from break, for whatever reason, it took us a little bit to get back going. And I think now we're playing the right way. It'd be great to earn the bye if we can, you know, get a chance. But if not, I just like how we're playing right now.
Well, last time Union played Yale was not a good game. The Bulldogs took a 4-1 victory on January 17th at M&T Bank Center. You had the better to play in that game. Why did the game get away from Union, and what would be the key to playing better and beating Yale?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, Yale played really well. I didn't love the way we played, but really, you can blame it on us or whatever, but like, Yale did a lot of good things. They stayed above us. They didn't let us transition. It was a long night for us, and you know, there haven't been too many times this year where our team was frustrated, and that was one of them.
Well, the night before, you had an outstanding 4-0 win over Brown. What was the key in that game?
Yeah, I think we got a power play goal early, and I don't think it was a 4-0 game, just the way, you know, I think we got two empty net goals there at the end.
Yeah.
So their goaltender was really good, and I thought we got good goaltending as well that night.
What would be the key to winning at Meehan?
It's creating your own energy and playing with discipline. I know it's senior night, so hopefully there'll be a little bit better of a support and energy in the building, but you know, we got to make sure that those people are quiet.
Well, early in the podcast, we heard the Union goal calls. We did not hear Matt Dubray calling those goals. Last Friday, he announced he had a setback in his battle with acute lymphatic leukemia. He'll undergo treatment again. Matt reached out to me last Thursday to let me know of his situation. And if you have not seen my story on Matt, it's on dailygazette.com. I normally don't use profane language on this podcast, but I'm going to make an exception here. Fuck cancer. I feel bad for Matt and his family. He sounded frustrated to me in our chat. I mean, what are your thoughts on Matt?
It's extremely difficult, and you know, for someone that is just such a great person and around our program, and you know, the voice of our program, it's really tough. You know, we're here to support him any way we can, and I think the biggest thing is just there's nothing that we can say to him other than just that we're there for him.
Well, there was a big hockey game Sunday morning at the Winter Olympics in Milan, Italy. Team USA Hockey beat Team Canada 2-1 in overtime on a Jack Hughes golden goal. It's Team USA's third gold medal and first since 1980. It came on the same day when Team USA beat the Soviet Union in 1980. What did you think of Sunday's game?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to be able to watch. On a typical morning, it's tough to get my two sons up. They like to sleep in, but they were up right for the, you know, the 8 o'clock puck drop. And I think that's a memory our family will always remember.
Well, Brown made some news on Monday. They have a new head hockey coach. UMass assistant coach Tom Upton was hired. He'll replace Brendan Whitted, who took a family leave of absence when he returned. And when Brendan returns from that, he'll work in the athletic administration. Your thoughts on Upton? What do you know about him?
Well, I think he's a great personality. He's a lot of fun to be around. You know, this will be his first experience in the ECAC as his. His previous jobs have been in Hockey East and Atlantic Hockey, so I think that'll be a little transition for him, but, excited for him.
Well, Upton will take over at the conclusion of the UMass season. Did the hiring seem quick?
It was different. With the whole transfer portal world, I think a lot of people are maybe pushing things a little faster than normal, so... I think Brown felt like they found their guy, and they went with him. Yeah.
Well, our favorite segment is up next here. We always take questions from our listeners, and we have a lot of them again. Andrew Jarrett writes, I was pleased to see Jeanette have two goals against Harvard. His upper left corner attempt at a third goal was a very good idea, but just barely missed. I hope his success against Harvard boosts his scoring confidence. He is a bit of an untapped scoring source, in my opinion. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think... anytime you're getting, production from other players that maybe haven't done it, it's huge. And I think for a lot of this season, Jacob's really, questioned his role, questioned where he fits on the team. And I think right now he's finally understands what he needs to do and is playing at a really high level for us.
Well, Andrew also writes that he's noticed that the lineup, Jeanette, Ethan Benz, and the Pelton is pretty big. Did their 200-plus pound per guy weight factor into the formation of that line? Are there specific opponents that Josh thinks they will match up well against?
Well, I think we need that line to be physical. We need them to possess the puck and hold on to it. They got to be a line that people don't want to play against. So, yeah, I definitely think we'll use them in a lot of different ways.
Union professor Brian Cohen writes, Josh Algie switched Lindauer and Burr in the third period against Dartmouth. Was it a matchup he saw or something else?
We just felt like the first 10 minutes of the third period, we were stagnant and not getting anything done. So we, made a decision to switch lines and try to give those guys a spark. Luckily enough, it worked out.
Kelly Dobsky-Hubicki is asking, she was curious about postseason play with all the possible scenarios and the way teams have peaked or tanked as we finish the regular season. If Union has to play a first-round game, which team would they hope to face on home ice?
We're hoping to not play that weekend. I think at this point, we just got to make sure we're playing well. We haven't really given a ton of thought to who we're going to play. You got RPI, St. Lawrence, and Brown that are, all fighting to, push up in the standings. So any three of them, they're all difficult opponents.
Ben McCarthy has a couple of questions. First one, would you consider adding in a post-game lap for the players to thank fans? I've seen Maine do it after every home game, and I like to see spectators stay longer and be more involved.
Yeah, we typically do the stick salute. It's funny you say that because at the start of this year, that was kind of our plan, was we were going to do the lap, and then the first game was against Army, and it went to the shootout, and we lost, and then for whatever reason, because of that, we didn't do it. So then we just stuck with what we did that first game.
We also asked, what rule changes from the NHL or otherwise would you like to see in the coming years? Maybe changes from the transfer portal?
As far as NHL stuff...
I think he's maybe referring to NHL rules that would affect college hockey.
Not a ton of things, whether it's a hand pass in the D zone or... The one thing I know you've mentioned it here and just you've been pretty vocal about it, honestly, is just having the referees communicate better of what's going on when there's challenges and different things of that nature. I just sometimes having them mic'd and letting everybody know what was going on, I think would be beneficial.
# mic the refs. Finally, Jared LaCourte writes, is it safe to say that Corpy has emerged as the number one goalie as we head into the final weekend in playoffs?
Well, I think Cameron's playing at a really high level right now, and that has nothing. Braden is pushing as hard as he can and trying to get back in that net. At this point, Cameron's played really well.
Well, thanks everyone for the questions. If you have a question for Josh, you can email him to shot@dailygazette.com, or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky X and Threads at Slapshots. Well, the Daily Gazette ECAC Hockey Faceoff selections for the regular season are wrapping up this week. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those picks before the first game, usually on Fridays. To play, send your picks to shot@dailygazette.com. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk after the games.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks. That's Josh Algie. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, we'll preview the Union men's and women's weekends. On the men's side, I'll talk with Nick Young, Brandon Burr, and Cameron Corpy. After their big 2-1 upset of 5th-seeded Clarkson last Friday, the Union women faced top-seeded Yale in the ECAC Hockey Tournament best-of-three quarterfinals in New Haven, Connecticut. Basically a doubleheader coming up for Union hockey on Friday.
Yeah, it'll be fun to be able to watch that game, you know, for us.
Yeah. I'll talk to Union head coach Tony Macy, defenseman Stephanie Bork, forward Carrie-Anne Engelbert, and goalie Emma Reume. I asked her about her incredible behind-the-back save she made early in the third period against Clarkson. Did you see that?
I did. That was amazing. Yeah.
I'll also speak with Union women's hockey goalie and Winter Olympics women hockey bronze medalist winner, Monia Wagner. She's back in town. We arrived late Tuesday. I spoke with her on Wednesday. Story will be up shortly on dailygazette.com. I know that our photographer over there, Colin, was getting pictures, and you had a chance, and some of the men's players had a chance to interact with Monia and the bronze medal.
Yeah, that was... unbelievable, and you know, I think everybody on campus is so proud of her. There's not too many times where our guys, you can tell where they're in awe of something, and they all were in awe of it. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, I got to touch the bronze medal before I started talking with Monia, and it didn't break, thank goodness. So, yeah. So yeah, look for that story coming up on DailyGazette.com and in the Thursday print edition. The views expressed in the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.